Welcome to the West Elk Word. I'm Tony Todd, here today with Derek Nierenberg, Executive Director for the Metropolitan Recreation District, known locally as MetRec. Derek, welcome.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Let's just start a little bit with the story of MetRec. It goes back a ways, and it's evolved and morphed over the years to take on different responsibilities. Why don't you give us a little the cliff notes of that? I know it's a long story, but kind of explain what you do with this organization and how it all began.
Well, it does have a pretty long history. The district was founded in 1978 as a Metropolitan Recreation District to serve TV. And the reason it was founded as a recreation district is because, according to Colorado law, watching TV counts as recreation. And so before MetRec, though, there was a TV club, let's call it. There were a group of volunteers that were building towers and trying to get TV working, TV and FM radio working in the valley, because at that time there was no TV and a lack of FM radio. And so it was really a group of community volunteers that got it started. They needed some operating money and wanted to make the system more official. And so there were a group of them in the community formed the Gunnison County Metropolitan Recreation District to do TV. And so when it was formed in 1978, they switched over to MetRec was serving TV at that time. And it was pretty successful. They built towers all over the county. And those towers are still standing. Many of them are. And some have been removed over the years. But in 2001, the district amended its service plan to add parks and recreation service because there was already a recreation district here, and so you couldn't create another one. So they added it to the service plan. And they started funding recreation grants at that time. And at that time, it was at the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. They were also making tough decisions about TV at the time. 2009, the TV system was upgraded to from analog to digital with federal dollars. And starting about 2012, the district was getting hit hard by Tabor. So their revenue was going down. And they didn't have quite enough money to run TV properly or do recreation at all. So there was zero funding for recreation for a number of years. My history with the district really picks up in 2016. I joined the board in 2016 and served for 6 years. And one of the first things we did is we did a survey of TV users, and also we did a cost analysis of doing TV for the next 10 years and quickly realized that there was not going to be enough money to continue. And the community also had the interest, big interest in the district becoming more of a real recreation district and to have some money for recreation. And so the community voted in favor of ballot issue 70 in 2018. And it was one of the most unsexy ballot issues of all time, you know, repeal Tabor, debruce the district, get the mill back to one. And it passed by 73% in the North Subdistrict. Passed within the city of Gunnison, but failed in the subdistrict, South Subdistrict overall. So we have two. There's the Gunnison County Metropolitan District. It doesn't share the same boundaries with the county, but basically you could consider it Gunnison County. It also includes a little bit of Swatch. But the district was subdivided into a North Subdistrict, which is basically the Crested Butte Fire Protection District.
Okay.
So everything north around Mountain up to the border of the county in the north. Actually, no, it's the border stops at the end of the Gemug National Forest. So just past Schofield Pass. So that ballot issue in 2018 allowed us to have some money for recreation for the first time in a number of years, and also to engage in a multi-year capital plan to improve the main chain of the TV system between Gunnison and Mount Crested Butte. We didn't have plans to upgrade the system long-term and the remote system because the towers where the system was such in such bad shape, it was going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars per user to upgrade those sites.
Broadcast is expensive.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
And equipment's changing. The MetRec has always been, really, in my mind, a victim of outside forces when it comes to broadcast TV. Then in 2022, we sensed the community wanted more support for recreation. And so we ran in the North Subdistrict. And so we ran ballot issue 6B in 2022. And the voters voted in favor for it by, I think it was 65% in a very tough election year. And that allowed us to create the recreation grant program we have now, which supports capital, nonprofit operations support, and community grants. And this year, that grant program, we've been running it annually since then, so I think it's our fourth year. And this year, the total budget for the recreation grant program is $820,000.
That's significant.
And we had to do a lot of work to create that program. To my knowledge, we're the only special district in the country that's running a grant program like this. And the reason the district went this direction is because during the time when there wasn't a regional recreation provider, governmental, a lot of nonprofits have sprung up and been doing a tremendous job. And we realized that there's no way a governmental entity was going to do a better job than these nonprofits who have just been knocking it out of the park. And, you know, for a lot of them, it's been a passion pit and they needed like sustainable professional support to help retain workers here longer and also recruit new ones. And so, yeah, the recreation grant program has been a big success because it has allowed organizations to do more multi-year planning, increase wages, which keeps people returning year after year. That expert knowledge is, in a lot of cases, you know, would be extremely difficult to replace. But so I think our grant program has been very successful. It's also allowed organizations to try new things.
I think it's something that people probably underestimate, that kind of experience in the recreation business is invaluable. You need people who know the river and know the trails and can coach the kids and all of those things. That experience really comes in handy. So being able to retain those employees means a lot more than you might think on the surface.
Yes. And these, in my mind, it's even more than that because these people offer, I mean, they provide a very unique ingredient to the culture of our community, keeping things real.
I want to go back to what you said about being a victim of outside forces when it comes to TV. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, the broadcast TV overall at corporate level is in turmoil. They're losing money. They're running it as a loss leader. They're shifting to internet media. That's where most of their money is going. Mm-hmm. And also, the markets are shrinking. And there's just a lot happening at the FCC level and at corporate levels that's, you know, sort of been dragging MetRec around with the changing opportunities and requirements. For instance, we upgraded the main chain to ATSC 3.0, thinking that would be a good move that would last for 10 years. And now it's not clear it's even ever coming. So from like just a cost perspective, those were sunk costs. And it was, you know, like $1.5 million.
What kind of demand do we have here? I'm sure it's decreased over the years, but there's still obviously some folks in the Gunnison Valley who rely on that signal to get any kind of TV.
We ran into significant headwinds in 2024. Everything was happening at once. Comcast announced they were going to switch from satellite to terrestrial, which we've been on satellite reception for all this time. Mm. So that's a big change. And the Monarch site failed, which threatened the whole remote system. There was damage to the building up there. It's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars to fix that. And so there were other factors as well. And so, you know, the dashboard was flashing red and we wanted to let the community know. And so we had a public meeting in Gunnison and there was a big turnout and people were very concerned and MetRec listened. And so we did another cost analysis, another survey. you know, things are not looking good. It was, you know, anytime you do a cost analysis, you're basically underestimating because you don't know the unknowns. And it was going to be $10 million for 10 years. And so we had to present that to the community and the challenges we were looking at and really know the future. All it really offers is hope, but no guarantees that like the investments would endure. And so the board made a very tough decision after many public meetings. I believe it was April of last year to discontinue the system. So the remote system was discontinued June 1, 2025, and the main system is scheduled to be decommissioned in June 1, 2026. But all the while, we've been working on alternative methods. We started experimenting with the Denver direct feed system even before the resolution.
Is that terrestrial feed? Oh, okay.
It's internet. Direct internet feeds from the Denver affiliates.
Okay.
And we knew it was a bit of a long shot. We were going to face some issues. Again, this is a opportunity created by our outstanding TV engineer who the district contracts. And again, to our knowledge, this method had never been tried that he knew of. But we were willing, he got one working. And so we were planning on just experimenting with it last year and to see if we could stabilize the signals. And then Verizon installed a cell signal tower on W Mountain that knocked out the whole system in one fell swoop in August of last year. So we switched over to the Denver direct feeds, got them all working by December of this year. But then what we suspected might happen has been happening. We have signal stability issues. Mm. We also have legal issues. We're still trying. Mm-hmm. There's a sixth step to see if we can make this work. And we've embarked on that step this month. So we haven't completely given up hope, but it's not, unfortunately, very difficult.
It sort of seems like it works, but there are, again, those outside forces that are beyond your control that are coming
in. We can't guarantee a quality system. Mm-hmm. We don't have end-to-end control. Mm. Corporations have that. Mm-hmm. Special districts are not afforded that opportunity to have end-to-end control, which is why we're the last special district in the state doing TV.
Well,
but we've all along, the reason why we keep trying so hard is because people come to these meetings and they tell us how important it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's still time. A little bit of time.
A little bit of time.
A couple months. Well, let's get back to the rec piece. Can you give us some examples of maybe a few familiar projects and grantees in the Valley that you've funded over the last few years? I see that you have a grantee spotlight.
Yeah,
on
one
your
of the
website.
I'll try to pick from one of each. So for capital grants, we help support a bridge on Ventile, Shady Island, down in Gunnison. That renovation down there. There are a number of others, but those are the two are the more recent. Also, some rec path development up here in collaboration with the town of Crested Butte. For the nonprofit operation support, you know, there's a number of organizations. CBAC, they were able to level up their staff operations.
And who are they, CBAC?
The Crested Butte Avalanche Center. Mm-hmm. Crested Butte Nordic they have an operation grant to support their public trails, grooming of their public trails, and also their staff. The Crested Butte Mountain Bike Association has an annual operations grant to help support their trail development and maintenance and also public outreach. That's enabled them they have the same staff returning every year, ever since the grant was first awarded to them. Yeah, hockey, there's operations grant for hockey. There's so many organizations. I've received 42 applications for our grant program this year. So it's great. Community grant, Elizabeth Gillis, former Gunnison Senior Center director. She had a community grant that supported senior outings in the summer.
So yeah, like hiking. The hikes and things. Yeah.
Yeah, that was tremendously successful. And one thing that I've noticed over the years and I really appreciate about this community is that organizations ask for what they need.
They know to do that.
I don't think that they know to do that. That is just their nature.
Oh.
This is what we need for this next step.
Mm-hmm.
And so it enables MetRec to spread the wealth, so to speak.
Nice.
So it's really great working with these organizations.
If you are just joining us here today on the West Elk Word, I'm Tony Todd, and my guest is Derek Nierenberg, Executive Director for MetRec, the Metropolitan Recreation District, an organization that supports our local TV broadcast signal and recreation projects in the Gunnison Country. I understand there's a master plan that you've just completed.
So we completed the first regional recreation master plan for the county in February of 2025. Yes.
Okay. And a part of that is a rec path here at the north end of the valley.
There are six priorities.
Okay.
So before we did that master plan, we did a survey in 2023 for indoor and outdoor recreation opportunities and needs. And the response rate for that survey in the North Valley was 15%, which is off the charts for
That's
a governmental
really high.
Survey.
Yeah.
And it was also good in the South. It was really interesting because the needs in the North and the South are basically the same. So 53% in the North said that improved rec paths was a big priority. It was 54% in the South. And you just don't, I've been doing stats for a while, my previous career, and also community surveys, and you just don't see stats like that very often. You know, over half the community saying it's a priority. And there were other interesting results as well. It's indoor, you know, if you ask people how important is outdoor recreation, 95% say extremely important. Outdoor recreation, less important, but the much bigger gap. A much larger gap in filling the need. That's what led us to do that regional recreation master plan, and we basically saw the same kind of messages from the community that we saw in the survey. The master plan also called out the need for more indoor recreation space in the north is a big need, and that's something that we're addressing as a community collectively. Yeah, we've started chipping away. Our goal is with our any big capital expenses that we approve, that they go towards meeting the objectives of the master plan and the needs of the community. And so the first thing we did was help support the creation of the Crested Butte Community School soccer field and playground, a third of that project. That was great working with them. Especially Leslie. Leslie is going to be sorely missed. Leslie Nichols, the superintendent. And now we're taking on the Crested Butte to Crested Butte South rec path. Got an RFP out now. It's an RFP for 100% design of that path, so it's ready to construct and grant and funding support so we can get it funded and hopefully be ready to build it before too long. This is a need that's been out there for 30 years.
Do you have an ETA on that?
2 years to do the 100% design.
Okay.
And
that's
it'll
ambitious.
Be like $1 million+ to mm-hmm. do the design.
And what about the indoor recreation prospects for the north end of the valley?
Well, the town's doing its recreation master plan right now. So we did our plan, and all along we knew we could see what was coming down the pipe. The town of Crested Butte wanted to do their recreation master plan. The city of Gunnison's doing their master plan. There's also this north corridor or corridor planning that's happening. And so there's the pieces to the puzzle that you need to have on the table and put together are on the table, and they're getting put together, and it's just a matter of timing.
At some point, those entities will coordinate with you in some way.
I think it'll be a community effort, and I think more and more people are realizing that, hey, you know, there's recreation districts out there in the state and across the country that planned, build, operate, recreation programs. And if you have a regional entity already created to do that, well, maybe they could be an important tool to help figure it out.
Mm-hmm. How can Gunnison Valley residents become involved with MetRec? You mentioned surveys that people can always put their opinion on and give you feedback on. Are there other ways folks can give you feedback or participate in your board meetings or anything like that?
Well, first of all, they can always call the district or email the district and reach out to staff. But I think probably perhaps the most important way is, you know, we're a quasi-governmental organization. We're governed by Colorado law. We have a publicly elected board, and the board likes to hear directly from citizens. So if you want to bring something to the district, probably one of the best ways is to show up to a meeting, give some public comment, but also participating behind the scenes. MetRec is in the midst of updating its mission and vision, and we adopted this tagline, MetRec Connects, a while back, but we've been growing into it. And so I think there's a lot of connections that people are already doing between their organizations, but connecting with other people about shared needs, concerns, bringing those to the district, I think that's great.
Excellent. What else would you like folks to know about MetRec, the Metropolitan Recreation District?
We are action-oriented. We're also future-oriented. I think we've been pretty successful by being kind of conservative with what we take on. But things have also, we've also been growing up pretty fast. And I think the future looks pretty bright for our community overall. It's a community of great people. And the groundwork is already laid for us to develop stronger connections between not only the governmental organizations around here, figuring out ways to meet the stated needs and desires of the community. You know, we're really smart around here, and there's a lot of passionate people. My personal view is that we shouldn't be scared. Figure out how to work together, meet the needs.
You mentioned the future, and we've talked a little bit about some things that are bound to happen in the near future. What about down the road? What are some aspirations that you've discussed or that folks have brought to you that they would like you to at least put into the basket of things that you consider?
One of the most coherent things that has come to the district centers around rec paths. The expressed needs about rec paths was twice as much in the South as it was in the North. And the shared vision that was I heard people talked about the most is a continuous rec path from Hartman's to Gothic.
Mm. That would be ambitious.
It would take a while.
It would.
It would be ambitious. But I think it's important for governmental organizations as servants of the community and the taxpayers to figure out what the vision is and then figure out ways to meet it. And so that's MetRec's approach.
Yeah, folks have been talking about that for a long time. That maybe not, I didn't think about Hartman's, but that's a great idea. I always have thought, you know, Gunnison to Crested Butte has long been an aspiration for many.
Well, if you connect all the pieces together, it all, you know, there's mm-hmm. there's definitely challenges. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the connections, there's, you know, have been in the backlog of planning for years, and there's just been no way to implement it.
Someday.
Someday.
Well, Derek Nierenberg, Executive Director for Metropolitan Recreation District, or MetRec, as we call it, thanks for joining me today on the West Elk Word.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was great. Thanks.
That's it for this edition of the West Elk Word. You can listen to this or any edition of the program anytime. Go to kbut.org, click Programs, then West Elk Word. Thanks for listening. See you next time.